Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. It's Genuinely Grace. If you hear a little bit of a noise, it's because I've got the door open where I'm recording. It is so warm. I hope you've had a really good week. My goodness, the weather has been amazing here in the UK, which definitely helps if you're able to get outside and get out and about. Makes a massive difference, I think, getting a bit of vitamin D and boosting your sense of well-being. I really hope whatever your situation, you're staying well and you're keeping that sense of optimism. I've had a few friends and colleagues that this week particularly, I don't know what it is, I don't know what's going on, perhaps something astrologically as well as everything else, but a number of people from all different kind of circumstances have had a bit of a meltdown. There's been a few people in the sober club who've messaged me privately and said, I don't know what's going on. I've just had a complete meltdown, a total sort of toddler tantrum day. And then others, not connected with the Sober Club, just people that I went to get some shopping and stood 2 metres away from a friend. It was actually lovely to see her waving from a distance. Her dog came over and gave me a cuddle, which was very nice. But we sort of stood opposite each other, and she said, you know, I don't know what's going on. I'm grateful. I know I'm lucky. I've got a garden. I've got enough to eat. I'm okay. But I just had a total day where I was just utterly down, and I think this is so normal at the moment. To not feel okay, you know, sometimes is so unbelievably normal, and we just have to be kind to ourselves. So we're coming to the end of Mental Health Awareness Week. I'm sure you've seen lots of press about it, and when I realized that there theme was kindness, their focus was kindness, I thought that was just perfect, actually. And as someone who's has a close family member with bipolar, it's been at the forefront of my whole life. Really, literally, my whole life has been has had that kind of focus on issues around mental health. And it's really only in the last few years that people talk about it, isn't it? I mean, 10 years ago, I don't think we'd have been having this conversation or similar ones. So I suppose that's good that we talk about it more, but I don't know whether we also talk about it more because it's more prevalent, because more people have issues, or whether, you know what I'm saying. Anyways, I'm glad that the Mental Health Foundation chose kindness as their theme, because that can apply to everyone. You know, we can all do that. We can all focus on kindness. And we did a challenge in the Sober Club this week, a 7-day kindness challenge. And it was really, really simple. It was just, here's a list. I just compiled a couple of lists. One list was acts of kindness that you can, some suggestions for acts of kindness that you can do for others and, you know, for the greater good. And another list of being kind to yourself. So on the acts of kindness, it's interesting, actually, because when you look at all the books and you kind of look at everything over the years that people have written about kindness, and so many involve being close to other people. You know, give someone a hug. That's a classic act of kindness, isn't it? You know, pay in the line for the coffee, pay for the person behind, and or open the door for someone. Really simple things like that. But we can't do any of those things at the moment. Well, you can't really open the door for someone to come in unless you've got kind of, you know, 4-foot long arms. That won't work in the current scheme of things. So there's lots we can't do, but of course there's still loads we can do. And so I compiled a bit of a list, and then obviously people could come up with their own as well. And it's worked really well, not because I think most of us aren't kind, because I think most of us are. But I think just having that focus on, OK, well, I'm definitely going to do something every day, and just notice it. It's more than noticing, really, than anything, makes you kind of react a little differently. One woman was telling us that she runs a business that sells, equipment that is still open at the moment. And she had an email from somebody saying, I'm placing my order, but I'd love a little freebie of something just to cheer me up. And she said her normal reaction would have been, you know, well, good for you, whistle for it. But she thought, hold on a minute, I'm going to be doing an act of kindness. So I've got to think of one, so I'll do that. So she threw in some samples. And of course, the end result of that is she feels good about it. And so does the recipient, who will probably now become a raving fan and always buy from that company. So it's always a win-win, really. And of course, as we are well aware, kindness to others is really good for our own, well-being. And as David Hamilton said on the podcast just a month or so back, you know, physiologically, kindness is the opposite of stress. It is incredibly good for us to actually do some kind of act of kindness. We actually get more benefit than the person receiving. So, you know, what's not to like? We're nearly at the end of our kindness challenge where people are sort of saying what they've done, but you can do this anytime. Of course you can. And of course, the other bit of it, the be self-kind bit, well, that was interesting because people found that harder. You know, what is it about people who, I don't know, maybe it's everyone, but certainly us former drinkers find it really, really hard to be kind to ourselves. We tell ourselves this ridiculous story that we're giving ourselves a treat that is, wine or beer or whatever at the end of the day, when, of course, really deep down, we know that that's just harming us. And then when it really comes to actual self-care and actually being kind to ourselves, we find it really hard. It's been very interesting to read some of the posts this week in the Sober Club where people have said, oh, well, I did this and I cooked my son's favourite meal and I posted a letter in the mail to somebody, or I sent flowers to someone, or I baked an extra cake for a neighbour and left it at her door, and all these amazing things people do when they focus on it. And they're very happy to share that they've done that. They feel really pleased. But then you say, and your act of kindness to yourself is? ? And they usually have to say, oh, yeah, I haven't actually got one of those yet. And I don't know whether it's because we think it needs to be something massive. It doesn't. It can be something really small. But make sure it's something for you, that you focus on for you, being kind to yourself. Anyways, if you are interested in that topic and you haven't already, go and check out my interview with David Hamilton. If you go to thesoberclub.com and click on podcasts, you get a whole bunch of podcasts from way back when. And if you kind of scroll and scroll and scroll, you'll come to the podcast, which was probably within the first 4 months of podcasts that I did from 2019. And you'll see there, so it's about a year ago, the one on with David Hamilton on kindness. It's such a lovely thing to listen to because David is just, well, king of kindness, really. And the book, Why Kindness is Good for You, it's quite an old book now, but it's still really worth a read. And then the other interview you might want to go back and listen to, if you haven't listened to it before, is the interview I did with Shiru Azadi, who wrote The Kindness Method. And hers is all about the concept of you know, the importance of being kind to ourselves first. So check out both of those. Today's podcast, we're talking all about great drinks. My guest is Camille Vidal, La Maison Wellness. I'm sure many of you know Camille. If you've ever been to, certainly if you're UK-based and you've been to any of the Mindful Drinking Festivals, Camille is often there doing masterclasses in making cocktails and drinks. And she's also recently been on TV in the UK, which is, I mean, how amazing, how absolutely amazing that she's featured in the mainstream like that, talking about low and no alcohol drinks and lovely concoctions. She does a whole bunch of stuff around holistic health. So needless to say, I'm a fan, a really big fan. I love the work she's doing. Just a heads up in this interview, because obviously we pre-recorded it, and Camille does talk in this interview about low alcohol drinks as well as alcohol free. So she talks a little bit about low alcohol drinks and the fact that, you know, some people drink moderately. And I just want to kind of caveat that really by saying, in case this is your first time listening to this podcast, you know, it is called the Alcohol Free Podcast. Personally, I don't drink alcohol ever. I don't moderate. I'm not a mindful drinker. I'm totally alcohol free. And I am absolutely, completely 100% non-judgmental. So, of course, I accept and understand that some people have made the decision to be mindful drinkers. and they do have an off switch, and that works for them. And some people want the low alcohol versions of drinks. I understand that as well. It drives me bonkers, by the way, that in certain supermarkets, they actually place the low alcohol directly next to the alcohol free. Tremendously confusing when you're starting out. You want to be able to clearly see that something's marked 0.5% or less. And then if directly next to it, there's a low alcohol drink that's like 8%, which, yeah, it might be low alcohol, but I certainly don't want it. It can be very confusing, so you have to be really careful. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is I totally get that. For what it's worth, I'll just tell you that my take on it, if you're brand new to all of this and you're just in the early days of ditching the booze, or you're thinking about ditching the booze, you know it's time, because lockdown is the perfect time. If you haven't done it yet, do it now. Then don't get confused into thinking that that it's a good idea to go straight to moderation, or because in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, I think that have 30 days alcohol free, whatever happens next, have at least 30 days. And from there, you can make your decision with whatever it is you want to do. But have 30 days totally alcohol free and boost your well-being, boost your immunity. You know that for me, it's all about optimum health and well-being. It's not only about not drinking. Not drinking underpins everything, but start to get a sense of the real you, all of that stuff that I talk about the whole time. But I just wanted to caveat that in case this is the first time you've listened to the Alcohol Free podcast, and then you listen to me chatting with Camille, and then you suddenly think, oh, hold on a minute, is Janie advocating that I just cut down my alcohol and go to a low alcohol drink? And well, my answer would be, of course, that's entirely up to you. But you know my question. My question is not to everyone to ask themselves is not, am I drinking too much? The question to ask is, would my life be better physically and emotionally without alcohol? And if the answer to that question, if deep down you know that the answer to that question is hell yes, then you need to be alcohol free for a time, and then you make your decision from there. In my experience, most people go around the houses with that several times, and if they finally realize they don't have an off switch, they catch sight, my thing of catching sight of how much better life is without alcohol, because trust me, it's a massive thing you're doing. If you're in the early days, I'd say it right now. Give yourself a big hug. I'll send you a virtual one. Sadly, you can't go to any meetups right now and meet anyone else and let them give you a big hug, but you can give yourself a big hug, and you really do deserve it. And particularly if you're one of those people who've, had one of those meltdowns this week. There's definitely something in the air. It's okay. It's okay not to be okay sometimes. We know that phrase, don't we? Pick yourself up again and make sure you've got support. Make sure you have a tribe. That is just so important. There's so much support out there. Make sure you're connected with people that can support you. So get your glasses and your mixers ready and enjoy the interview with Camille.
Well, I've been wanting to chat to this lady for so long, Camille Vidal from La Maison Wellness. It's so lovely to have you on the podcast. We've met a couple of times, and of course, I've seen you on the telly and all sorts. So it's lovely to get to chat to you. Just tell us a little bit about you and your work for anyone who's not come across you yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me and for your patience and the little nudge of the like, let's do this podcast together. So thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to talk to you today and to your community. So my name is Camille Vidal. I am the founder of La Maison Wellness. And La Maison Wellness is a multimedia platform to inspire people to drink well and to live well, to really bring this idea of like bringing mindfulness into every aspect of your life. And that includes what we put into our glass and the way that we drink. And I have spent the last 15 years working in the hospitality industry, working in the drink industry around the world, in the cocktail industry. And I really wanted to reshape and change the conversation around what is a cocktail and how we can celebrate like healthy hedonists and how we can bring more mindfulness into the glass, but also more and helping people to understand that like tasty doesn't have to be boozy, and that a cocktail is an experience that is a, that is flavorful, that is delicious. It's an amazing way to bring people together, and that doesn't say that it has to have alcohol. So with La Maison Wellness on a on the different platform that I have, which is the website, the YouTube channel, the social media, but also the event that when we're able to, mm-hmm. to hang out again, the community that I've built with La Maison Wellness of what I call the healthy hedonist, and that can be like, you know, retreats, La Maison Wellness retreats, where it's about, you know, yoga, meditation, eating well, drinking well, celebrating together, or like the cocktail masterclasses that I do, and all these like different events when it brought people together, like-minded people together.
I love it. So what about your own story then? Were you ever someone who drank a lot of alcohol, or how, you know, I mean, how did you sort of get into what you're doing now?
Yeah, I feel like that, you know, very often people ask me that question, and they also ask me, did you drink too much? Did you, like, I don't think I had one experience when it was, you know, that wake up call when I was like, okay, that's it for me. Like, I'm just going to go more on the mindful drinking. I think that, like, I'm originally from France. I was born in the south of France. That's the accent. and I have left France 12 years ago, traveled around the world, spent quite some time in Australia, quite some time here in London, then went to New York and came back here. And having worked in hospitality industry and very much in the spirits industry for so long, at the top end of like cocktail bars and being a bartender myself, I think that like I wanted to find more balance in my lifestyle. And I think that maybe I was fortunate to grow up in the south of France and with a family of, like, you know, hospitality was so important, and food and drinks was such an important way to bring people together, but in the sense of like really appreciating good things in life and celebrating the moment and the quality of what we were eating and drinking. And I think that I really wanted to have this to be my way of life and my ethos, and really what is, like, you know, La Maison Wellness about. Because as much as I do loads of, like, you know, non-alcoholic cocktail, and it's very much about inspiring people to empower their relationship with alcohol, it's also inspiring people to drink well and to drink better, to make better decision when it comes to drinking. And if you want to drink alcohol, and if you still are drinking alcohol, then how can you drink it, and what, how can you reduce the alcohol content, how can you drink things that are better quality? And I think that, like, that is very much the work that I'm doing, about inspiring people to find the balance that works for them. And for my journey, I think that, like, I became a mindful drinker a few years ago when I just, you know, had loads of dreams and hopes and things that I wanted to bring to life, including La Maison Wellness, and I just didn't have time, you know, for hangover, didn't have time and didn't have any interest in drinking alcohol. And I just feel like that maybe it was, you know, I'm also a yoga and a meditation teacher. And I think that, like, on that journey of like self-awareness and connecting with myself, I feel like that becoming a mindful drinker really allowed me to tap more into that connection within myself, and to actually, when I go out, you know, have an amazing moment, drink something delicious that will be a mindful cocktails, and allow myself to shine, my spirit to shine, and not, you know, have one too many and then go home and remember half of the evening and wake up the day after with definitely not a clear mind and a clear head. So I think that was very much my journey on becoming a mindful drinker. I wanted to be able to have this energy, to have this, like, you know, clarity of sorts, to wake up with, you know, I wake up every day so excited with my business and La Maison Wellness, and to be able to inspire people to drink well and to live well, and I just needed all my energy for that.
It's so true. I mean, I you know, have been in the kind of wellness world for so many years, but unlike you, I didn't kind of get off that hamster wheel early enough. You know, I still look back and just think, what was I thinking? Because I was absolutely steeped in holistic living and ditching chemicals and eating well and yoga and mindfulness and spirituality. But there was this massive elephant in the room. There was this big thing that I wasn't addressing, you know, and it's only when I finally found that missing piece of the jigsaw, you know, so I'm always, I'm a little bit quite envious of people like you, young people who get it right early, you know, but nevertheless, I suppose my question is, you know, over the years, you must have seen that despite what's going on now, over the years, you must have seen that the wellness trend has still had a ton of alcohol linked to it. If you see what I'm saying, you know, it's not a given that, you know, just like me, it's not a given that just because you do yoga and you want to eat well, that you would realize that alcohol is in the picture. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because for so many years, for me, it didn't. And I know it's the same for a lot of other people. They would consider themselves super spiritual. I can't tell you the amount of health and well-being events I've been to and spiritual events where there is nothing on offer other than water and alcohol.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that like you use the word realize, because I think that's really the right way to explain it, is people don't realize. I think that like alcohol is so embedded in society. It is so part of like what we do and how we connect. And, you know, it goes hand in hand with going out, with socializing. And I think we just don't question it. You know, it's what we do. You go out and you have a drink, and sometimes you had one too many, and yeah, you feel it the day after, but that's just life. And that just socializing, and you want to live and you want to do everything. And I think that people don't question their relationship with alcohol, the relationship with society with alcohol. And so we don't question it. We don't change it because we don't question it until the moment when we're like, okay, I feel like this is for me, when I say that, like, it's about letting your own spirit shining through, is because I see, and again, I'm for myself not, I wouldn't call myself sober, because I don't like so much labels. And I think that like for me, it's a conscious decision that I take every day to be a mindful drinker. I have just not much interest in drinking alcohol, if I'm quite frank. And I love creating cocktails that are non-alcoholic or that are very low ABV. And for myself, I don't really, really drink alcohol at all, to be honest. But I think this is the being able to let your spirit shine through, to really allow yourself to like to show up as yourself. You know, I think a lot of people drink alcohol also as like a little bit of like Dutch courage, a little bit of a, you know, enhancer, mood enhancer, social enhancer. And I think that like in moderation, if you are drinking alcohol, that's your decision, and everyone find the balance that works for them. But I think that like the self-awareness that like you learn on your journey, connecting with yourself and on that wellness journey, and understanding your physical, emotional, and you know, mental well-being. I think that like actually alcohol in moderation can be, you know, a pleasure, but I think that too often is done in a very mindless, you know, way, or in a way that is not conscious and aware enough, and sometimes even worse than that can become more like self-medication, let's call it, you know, like I'm just gonna drink because I want to take the edge off, or I'm just gonna, you know, relax a bit, when actually there's so many better things that you can do that, like, you know, that will actually help you to relax, that will actually help you to take the edge off. Totally. But I think it's about awareness, and I think it's about bringing the awareness and questioning things that like we just don't really question because it's part of like society and how we you know exist in society and socialize in society.
That's so true. And you know, I mean, what's interesting is that many of us we drink, and we drink too much, and I was certainly into just a habit. I didn't ever have a rock bottom, but I was in the habit of drinking, and then it ramps up because it's highly addictive. You know, amazingly, I didn't realize that. Thought there was something wrong with me, but you know, actually, it is highly addictive. But interestingly, even though I was drinking pretty much every day, and it's highly addictive, if you'd offered me a glass of warm wine in a plastic cup, I just said, no, of course I don't want that. So even then, even when I was drinking too much, there was something in me that knew that what I really wanted was the ritual. You know, I wanted something lovely. I wanted a nice glass. I wanted it to be chilled. Of course I did. So that's what I really wanted. What I really wanted was that sort of grown-up drink. And of course, that's exactly what you're able to create, with the beautiful drinks that you make and the beautiful concoctions. And really, that's the key for people, isn't it? When they're trying to reframe these habits is, I was talking to someone in the sober club the other day and they were saying, oh, well, I'm just going to have to get to like tea. You know, I'm just going to have to learn to love tea. My answer was, no, you're absolutely...
You don't have to.
You love tea, that's fine. But, you can absolutely have amazing drinks. Why would you not? And for you, I don't know what my question is, by the way, but for you, you must have seen the industry. It must be amazing for you, the way the alcohol-free drinks industry has come along in the last few years and provided you with this amazing range to work with.
Absolutely. And I think that, like, you know, you mentioned a few things that are so important. I think that, like, you saying no to that, like, warm glass of wine in a plastic cup, which sounds awful, by the way. But, you know, I think it was definitely the flavor also. I think flavor is so important. Like, we drink because we want to enjoy that, because it triggers, like, you know, pleasure in our brain, because there's something that is delicious. We want something delicious. And that's very much what I'm, saying with La Maison Wellness is, tasty doesn't have to be boozy. I think that, like, very often we just assume that a cocktail has to be alcoholic, or we just assume that, like, you know, to taste good it has to have a good spirits in an alcoholic spirits. But I think that, like, that's flavor, I very much feel like that I'm a chef in the sense of, like, I play around with flavor and what works together and how to build an experience that tastes delicious and that is exciting. Mm. I think the other thing that you mentioned that is so important is the ritual. And I think that's a huge part of the reason why people drink. You know, food and drinks has an amazing way of bringing people together. Mm. Like, it's an amazing way to connect. And it's a beautiful ritual. And actually, at the moment, I think that, like, having those rituals are so important. You know, we're still around the world, mostly still in isolation or, like, part isolating, you know. And I think that, like, having those rituals that really punctuates the day and the moment and the occasion is so important. I think what I'm challenging and what I'm questioning is, does that mean that it has to include alcohol? And I really strongly believe that it doesn't. I think that, like, as you said, like, you know, we've been so lucky in the past few years. We've seen some incredible non-alcoholic spirits, non-alcoholic wine and beers and, you know, a whole range of, like, non-alcoholic aperitif and amazing, you know, product coming into the market that really allow you to have something that will taste delicious, that will really, you know, satisfied your, like, taste buds and, like, the flavor that you're expecting, but also something that feels like the ritual, that feels like a grown-up cocktail. Because, you know, we all have these things when, like, you know, that cold sip of, like, beer at the end of the day tastes amazing because it's that moment when, like, okay, I'm gonna switch off, or that like pouring a glass of wine when you, like, you know, put your kids to bed, like, that's the, okay, this is my me time.
And those, it's the associations,
are, like,
isn't it?
Yeah. And but that doesn't mean that you can't actually, you know, change that to something else. Like, I love having, you know, I'm sipping on the kombucha, and I love drinking kombucha, you know, out of a bottle glass, because for me that almost feels like it's having, like, that cold beer, or you know, there's some amazing non-alcoholic sparkling wine like Wildlife Botanicals, for example, which tastes incredible, is non-alcoholic. And I had on Saturday, I cooked a delicious meal in the evening, and I pour myself a glass of that sparkling wine, and I felt like it was such a special occasion. You know, it was such a beautiful way to celebrate a beautiful, you know, Saturday night dinner at home. And so there is so many things just like that you can do. And then, of course, you know, I'm really passionate about cocktails, and I think there's something so exciting and magical about creating cocktails. I actually come from a very artistic family. My dad was an artist and writing plays, and I grew up in a theater. And for years, I was always, like, you know, searching for that way of, like, expressing my creativity. And I did, you know, I went to an art school for a few years and I did so many different ways of like being creative. But that moment where I put one foot behind the bar and I start creating cocktail was really this like epiphany moment when for me it was like fulfilling that creative side of myself. Mm. And I love creating cocktails. I think there's something so beautiful about it. And very much what I do with La Maison Wellness is to bring those mindful cocktail recipes to everyone. You know, I want everyone to be able to make those cocktails at home, and that's why I have La Maison Wellness YouTube channel. That's also the reason why I'm so excited to be on Sunday brunch on Channel 4 as the No and Low drink expert to be able
that's
to,
so
you know,
cool
share.
Isn't it? That yeah. is so cool. I love the fact that they're covering
the cocktail. I know, I yeah. love that. I mean, like, you know, how like forward thinking of a yeah. of Channel 4 to say, okay, we're going to get someone that, and I mean, you know, I reached out to them and I was like, this is my experience. This is my expertise. I think this is so important for your audience. Mm-hmm. And there will always be people, you know, complaining and be like, that was the worst drink segment, you know, like, where is the booze? And that's mm-hmm. totally fine. But I think that like, this is really what I do with La Maison Wellness is to inspire people. And mm-hmm. for some people, they're like, I don't get this idea of like mindful drinking and how to drink better. And for some of them, you know, it's like at the moment when they're ready to like understand and how to like really tap into the power of like celebrating life in the way that actually makes you feel good. And that can be with like, you know, non-alcoholic cocktail to low ABV cocktail. But for me, mindful drinking or mindful cocktail recipe that I create isn't about, you know, alcohol or no alcohol. It's actually a way of life. It's a way of thinking. It's actually understanding that what you put in your body would have a repercussion on your body and your mind. So I look at like so many different ingredients that can really elevate the experience in terms of like the flavor, but also like things that, you know, can really like help you. And like I look into like all the different like adaptogen, like things that can tonify yourself and things like that. So it is really amazing. And I really hope that like we get to do more cocktail moment together and even with your community.
I hope so. Oh, that would be so great. I'd love to learn about it. I'd love to. Can you just tell us what would you say are the sort of the key elements that we need to think of? If you're a beginner and you want to put together a mocktail at home, what would be the sort of key elements you need to think about?
Yeah, I think that like it's really, if you have a look at lemonsandwellness.com, you will see that like I organize all my my cocktails by a different time of the day. So also understanding of like your palate at like, you know, brunch time, afternoon to aperitif to dinner, or even to your nightcap, which is like your last cocktail of the evening, will be different. You know, like you don't have the same palate. It also gonna depend on like the different season. It's gonna depend on like how you're feeling. So like so many different you know, things are really like interacting with what you like. I also think that, you know, it's like all my my cocktails are based on classic cocktails. Like I train as a bartender and work as a bartender for many years. And I think that like, it's nice for people to understand that like, you know, if you love a Negroni or if you love a mojito, to know that like, this is something that like you're gonna enjoy. Mm. And I think that like, when you become a mindful drinker, you have to like open your mind that like obviously what you're gonna have as an alternative to an alcoholic spirit with a non-alcoholic spirit will taste different, mm. obviously. But I think that like I like to build cocktails around flavor that people can really resonate with. So all of them will be like inspired by classic cocktail, and then that I twist and tweak and things like that. So I think that like knowing what you enjoy. So like if like you love a gin and tonic, there's loads of different alternatives that you can find with that. Or if you like more like a Negroni and you like the bitterness. So like kind of like figuring out what you like. What is your flavor? Like we all have different palettes. And then having, you know, understanding which occasion. Is it something that like you're going to have with your dinner, or is it something that you're going to have for your aperitif? And then you can sort of like navigate and experience and have fun and play with it. But really, like, you know, all my recipes are on my YouTube channel, so you can watch the video. I'm also doing a collaboration with Wise Bartender where you can actually order La Maison Wellness cocktail boxes.
Oh, great.
And get that delivered to your house. And then you just need to watch the video with me and do the cocktail like a cook along.
Fantastic. Can you give us an example of just one then, just one simple recipe just off the top of your head?
Yeah, I mean, simple recipes. simple recipes could be like super, super simple things like, you know, I did one cocktail for Laura from Club Soda, which was, what can you order at the pub if you want something that is like, you know, ingredients that they would have. And that will be just like, you know, some apple juice with some ginger beer, some sparkling water, 2 dashes of Angostura bitters, which will keep the ABV, the alcohol content of your cocktail under 0.5, so non-alcoholic, and that's it. Just like garnish it with mint, put it on ice, tastes delicious. You know, that
oh,
can
wow.
be as
so you
like
could simple. Literally actually ask the bartender to put that yeah. together in front of you, and they don't need to even necessarily be a specialist to do that.
No, and like that's the sort that of like things that like you can order. I'm also a big fan of like kombucha, and I think that like yeah. you know, kombucha is such a delicious alternative to like sugary soda. And then like if you have a look on that on Amazon Wellness, you will see that like I also love doing like sparkling water, but like flavored ones. So like either you have a soda stream at home, or you can just like have sparkling water and infusing with it. So you could do like, you know, added some rosemary and some sparkling water, mix that with some kombucha, and add a little bit of like a cordial. A cordial, you can make that at home if you want to make sure that like, you know, there is nothing that then that goes in that like you don't want. But you can also like, you know, like buy some like really delicious organic brands, and that can be from like your elderflower cordial to your like pomegranate cordial. You can make, you know, pomegranate cordial at home so easily with like pomegranate juice, a bit of like citrus peel zest mm-hmm. that you will put in, reduce that, add a sweetener that works for you, that can be raw honey or even like alternative to refined sugar like monk fruit and things like that are delicious. I know that's a lot of information, but mm-hmm. all of that is on amazonwellness.com yeah. And that's so simple, and you mix that, put it on ice, and it's cold, refreshing, flavorful, delicious. Then if you want to tap into more of like the alternative that you can find either on like alternative to you know, non-alcoholic spirits or non-alcoholic wine and aperitif and things like that, there's so many incredible brands out there. I really believe that, like, I mean, I love an aperitif and I love a spritz, and I think that there's some really, really beautiful product that have been launched, like Martini, which is an amazing Italian vermouth and an aperitif brand, has launched 2 non-alcoholic aperitifs. One is called Vibrante, which is really bright in citrus, and the other one is called Floreale, which is more like Roman chamomile with a little bit of bitterness. And that you can just have it as a spritz, either with just like soda water, tonic water. You can mix it with like kombucha. You can mix it with non-alcoholic sparkling wine. I mentioned Wildlife Botanicals, which is a beautiful non-alcoholic sparkling wine. They have 2 different expressions, blush and nude. And it's non-alcoholic sparkling wine with what they call the elixir. So 5 different botanicals and then vitamins. So they're known as the bubbles with benefits. Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
Lovely. I love
there's loads of there's loads of different things. And like, you know, then if you go on to more of like your non-alcoholic spirit, like Liars is an incredible range
yeah,
of
it really
non-alcoholic
is amazing,
spirits.
Isn't it? I had at the Mindful Drinking Festival, I had at the Liars stand, I had an espresso martini.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought I'd got to heaven. That was just fantastic. I don't even know which flavor of Liars was. I need to get that, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was great.
So that was the white rum.
And
the coffee liqueur.
Okay.
And just some coffee.
Fabulous.
And it's beautiful, you know, like really, really beautiful. But I also think that like what I love when I create cocktail and when I host event, and so I do The Well, which is the mindful cocktail bar, the pop-up of La Maison Wellness and things like that, is very often people will just have a sip and like they don't even think that there's no alcohol in it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that like that's really also where the journey of becoming a mindful drinker begin, is when, you know, a lot of people would think that like if you become a mindful drinker, so if you cut down alcohol or if you cut out alcohol, that you will be missing on the experience, that you have to compromise, that you're not going to be able to drink anything that tastes good. When actually, when, you know, I do loads of different workshop and masterclasses when I teach people how to make drinks, and when they have a sip, they're like, oh my god, that tastes amazing. I will definitely drink that over, you know, that crappy gin and tonic that I get at the pub down the street where I go to. And I think that's so important for people to really experience and taste those mindful cocktail recipes, to really realize that actually you're not missing out. And actually rather the opposite, because you're elevating your experience, meaning that the day after, you're definitely not going to wake up with a sore head or a little bit of a cloudy mind, you know. So I think that, like, by playing around, by testing those different products, like Liars, I've got loads of recipes on my website, and that can be from, like, you know, an alternative to a mojito, which is the drinks that I presented on Sunday brunch yesterday, with their white rum, their alternative to white rum, so that white cane sugar, to so many other recipes. Like, there's one called the Orchard Fizz, which is like a twist on a Tom Collins, so like alternative to gin and a bit of amaretto, non-alcoholic, all of that, so delicious, to loads of different spritzers, to some espresso martinis and things like that. I'm also finalizing a book, so hopefully
excellent.
You will be able to get that very, very soon.
That's super exciting. I love it. Yeah. Just one last question then. For people who are thinking, well, this is all great, but actually I really need to think about ditching some weight as well. And with not drinking, you know, I kind of really want to focus on losing some weight, but there's a ton of sugar going in. And I mean, I know that in the past when I've been, certainly when I've been in Europe and I've asked for a mocktail, what I've been handed is just something very, very syrupy, sugary. I mean, literally like a kid's drink, really. In fact, it is the drink they give kids. So how do we avoid that sugary syrup and too much sweetness?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I was saying at the beginning, I spent 15 years working in the hospitality industry and working with some of the best cocktail bars all around the world. And really the reason why I wanted to launch La Maison Wellness is because I agree. I think there is very, you know, there's more and more, and very much is changing. More and more venues doing amazing and having amazing offer on their menu when it comes to non-alcoholic. But there's also loads of places that still, you know, won't put as much thoughts into creating their non-alcoholic cocktails, and you definitely not putting their hearts and passion into it. And very often, as you said, you feel like you just order something from the kids menu, you know, it's super, super sweet and super sugary, and you're like, does it comes with the toy? Of your cocktail bar? I definitely, that 100% was the reason why I wanted to launch La Maison Wellness and teach, because I do a lot also of like trainings for hospitality industry and teach on how to make cocktails. I think also what's really important for me is to kind of like, I'm really strong, like I never use the word mocktail, because I think that like first, like this is already putting the cocktail into a different category, into something that is a mock, into something that is like...
I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not going to use it anymore now.
and that's the reason why I always talk about cocktails, you know. They're all cocktails.
Some it's just cocktail without... you're absolutely right.
And then if you look at like, you know, the recipe that I create, I'm also studying healing nutrition at the moment, and really understanding, like, you know, the power of like the ingredients that you put in the glass, and so all my cocktails will really, like, first of all, the first, you know, response that I get and the first feedback that I get when people try cocktail is, oh my god, it's not sweet, you know. Like I think people are so used to getting like very sugary mocktail, as you say, like that's very much the first reaction that they get. But there's loads of alternative to sugar that you can use. There's a whole blog post on La Maison Wellness on that. I also think it's important to know that, like, you know, a cocktail is still, even if it's non-alcoholic, it is still a pleasure and something that, like, to enjoy. There will be things like kombucha has, like, you know, almost like no sugar in, because like they only use a bit of sugar to do the fermentation, but then the sugar content is super low. There will be things like, you know, sparkling wine, et cetera, et cetera. So knowing that, like, you know, where you're at, also knowing that like sugar isn't the bad guy, like, you know, like refined sugar and too much sugar, absolutely, but balance. And like, you know, I use like maple syrup and like really good, like, organic, like blue agave syrup and like monk fruit and birch syrup and things that are like, actually monk fruit has no impact on your glycemic index. Like, it doesn't spike your blood sugar.
How do we buy it? Can we actually get it in the supermarkets?
You can buy it online or like health store. I'm pretty sure that like things like Holland and Barrett probably will have it always online for sure. And I can, I'm more than happy to share link. And then it will come as like granulated, like like sugar. Mm-hmm. And then you to make a syrup, you just mix it equal part with hot water. So it's very, very similar, the same as like you would do with sugar.
Do you use coconut sugar as well? Have you ever used it's kind of like coconut nectar?
Yeah, I use the coconut sugar sometime. I use also stevia. I tend to actually use the plants more than like the powder. So stevia, I also love it. It does have a flavor that like doesn't really resonate with everyone. I quite like the taste. I think that like even like, you know, in the mojito, I did a few like stevia leaves can be a really nice way to like sweeten your cocktail. So play around and learn what works for you and what you like. I think that's the most important and the most exciting part about making cocktails, learning what you enjoy and what you like, and knowing that, like, you know, adding sugar, there's so many different alternatives, so that like look into that, but also knowing that, like, you know, sugar isn't always like the bad it's about balance and knowing that like a cocktail is something that like to enjoy and it's a pleasure and it's not something that like you're gonna drink like, you know, gallon of
but actually
slowing down and savoring, and also knowing that like there is so much calorie in alcohol, and that's empty calories that like do nothing for your body. So reducing your alcohol content is definitely also a way to manage your weight and find more balance in that for sure.
Love it. So just remind us of your website one more time then, where there's lots of recipes.
Yeah, so lemaisonwellness.com is where you will find all my recipes. I share it all with you. No secret, you have it all. The YouTube channel is where you will find the how-to videos. So you can actually just like, you know, watch the video with me and make the cocktail with me at home. Great. And then Wise Bartender is where you can find the cocktail boxes that you can order to your house. There's four at the moment, but I'm actually adding a few. So stay tuned. Sunday Brunch is where you will see me, you know, popping on your TV on channel four every couple of months to create different cocktail. And then hopefully next year the book will be out, so you can order that.
Well, we definitely have you back on the podcast then. Definitely. Amazing. Thank you so much, Camille. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Camille Vidal, and I hope you're inspired to go and concoct some lovely drinks, even with just different juices. I love the fact that, you know, Camille kind of inspires you just to, well, it's that phrase, isn't it, that I love, keep the ritual, change the ingredients. So if your ritual is it's a lovely sunny day and you want a lovely drink, what's not to like? Just because you're not drinking alcohol doesn't mean it has to be only tea. There are just so many fabulous, fabulous drinks now without any alcohol at all. So if you know, there, it's not just, you know, we know it's not just juice and Coke. We can have so many different kinds of juices and kombuchas and tonics and, you know, soda waters. And I, for me, it's all about pimping your drinks. It really is. I mean, just a sparkling water cuts it fantastically on a sunny day. You put sparkling water in a nice glass, drop a frozen berry in there, and it all goes pink. A little bit of cucumber on the side. I mean, what's not to love, really? So I hope that was inspiring for you. Make sure you check out Camille's recipes. Her YouTube channel is fantastic. Talking YouTube channels, check out my new playlist. If you go to Jane Lee Grace on YouTube and check out the playlist called Imperfectly Natural Lockdown Health and Wellbeing Series. And on there, you'll find a few interviews that I've done with some absolute leading lights in natural health and wellbeing. There's an interview there with Zoe Harkham that I just recorded on Zoom. She is queen of real food on healing and boosting immunity and being well with real food. So check that out. Dr. Patrick Holford, another great interview. Patrick talks about his book Flu Fighters, so very relevant right now in boosting immunity. There's an audio interview with Dr. Sarah Myhill. I've mentioned this before on the podcast. She talks about the power of vitamin C, again, for any illness, but certainly for boosting immunity right now. So check that channel out. Please subscribe to it. And I'll be putting lots more interviews on there as time goes on. You might have heard me on the radio, actually, in the last few days. I've been on a couple of radio stations, BBC Radio Berkshire,
I'm doing BBC Radio Ulster, I think. I'm on a few local stations because I think that this whole thing of people drinking too much in lockdown is now really starting to show. And you know, the sales of alcohol and the knock-on effect, I think is really quite serious. So if you're in a situation where you can choose right now to make this your time, it's never been a better time to ditch the booze, because you don't have any of the social pressures right now. You don't have to deal with the sober shamers. Although I did have one woman say to me, she was really worried about joining her book club online, because everyone, you know, is online and the book club, and they're all talking about wine all the time and raising their glasses to the screen. But you know, you don't have to launch straight in and have a discussion on whether or not you're ditching the booze. It's your thing, it's your private thing. So just hold your glass up to the screen, make sure it's a nice glass, and have something beautiful and alcohol free in it. You know, I think people always think when they first ditch the booze that they have to have the full conversation with everyone at the beginning, and you know something, you don't. This is yours, this is your thing to hold on to, at least initially. You know, as you know, because I've said it loads of times, I didn't tell anyone. Now, I'm not suggesting that was the wrong thing to do. I should have got a little bit of support for myself, but the fact is, I got very good at just, I didn't tell any lies, I just managed to change the subject and drink something else and not make a big deal of it. And in the early days, just get yourself solid in what you're doing before you start having discussions and arguments, particularly with people who you know are going to try and persuade you over to a different path. Because obviously, when you ditch the booze, it shines a light on other people's behaviour. You know, we know that, don't we? And people can get very defensive, really defensive. And that's why they say, well, go on, just have one. You know, or the classic line, oh dear, you know, have you got a problem? Well, actually, no, I don't have a problem anymore. I'm good. but far better just not to get into the discussion at all. So if someone says, are you having a drink? Yeah, I am having a drink. You know, since when did the word drink have to mean alcohol? It drives me mad. You know, yes, I am having a drink. If you really want to know what's in the glass, it's tonic water or it's something alcohol free. Anyways, I hope that's inspired you to create some lovely cocktails. And I love the way Camille has reclaimed that word as well. I'm sure you heard that in the podcast where I said the word mocktail and she said, no, I specifically say alcohol-free cocktail. Why should that word have, you know, ownership and only be related to alcohol? It's crazy. So I hope you have a good week. Please don't forget that we are there for you in the Sober Club if you want to join. I am going to be closing the doors on the Sober Club for a while because we've got some very exciting developments coming up within the Sober Club. So it's a good time to join if you want to get in now at the current price. It's not very expensive. It's, you know, less than a decent bottle of wine a month. But there is a massive load of support in there. I'm not going to try and do a big sell. Have a look. If it's good for you, then please join us. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I hope not. It includes the online course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, which if you're already sober, you can use a lot of the information in that course to look at any behaviour change, actually. People have very successfully used the info in that course and ditched the sugar or whatever other behaviour change they're trying to make. And as you know, it's really all about focusing on living your best life without the booze, on what's next, on moving forward, and obviously optimum health and well-being is the thing. I should mention too, there's a few competitions if you want to enter to try and win some of the great drinks that Camille was talking about that we can, you know, use to enhance our alcohol-free life. Things like Boucher Kombucha, we've got a competition to win some of that. You can win a case of Sippling, which are the pre-mixed cocktails, alcohol-free cocktails, and also the Sea Arch, the lovely Sea Arch. We spoke to Sarah last week on the show, so you can win some Sea Arch and a copy of the Club Soda book, How to Be a Mindful Drinker. I think we've also got some binary drinks to give away. Yeah, we have. So there's a whole bunch of competitions. So if you look at the show notes, we'll link you to that. And as you know, all the other information is at thesoberclub.com. You can find me on Instagram at Janie Lee Grace and on Facebook. I have a Facebook group that is free to join called Imperfectly Natural Self-Care. That one is health and well-being, not specifically sober-related stuff, but you're very welcome to join that. And of course, you know where to find me with everything else. Drop me a message if you want to reach out. If you are struggling right now, do not try and do this alone. Reach out, get some help. There's so much support out there, so much free help available to you. So don't be on your own through all of this. And I will see you same time next week. Stay safe. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.